Hey there, folks. You are listening to Televised Revolution, our weekly look at all things TV and television. This week, it's Christmas. Folks, stay tuned.
If you want to have fun, come home with me. You can stay all night and play with my TV. TV is the thing. Yes, TV is the thing this year. Radio was great, but now it's out of date. TV is the thing this year.
Hey there, folks. You are listening to the Televised Revolution podcast, our weekly look at all things TV and television. My name's Dan.
My name's Simon.
And Simon, how the heck are you doing, sir?
I'm doing really good. Doing pretty good. You know how we often talk about the, like, various old media distribution methods kind of dying? Like the video rental store for getting a TV series and movies.
Yeah, yeah.
I walked into JB Hi-Fi. You go into Blockbuster Video. $6 to hire a film. Or buy the Blu-ray for $10.
That's quite a discrepancy, really, isn't it?
It is. It's just one of those things. So I went, I really want to watch Flash Gordon. Walked into JB Hi-Fi, two for $20. So I picked up Children of Men. I love that film.
Yeah, no, it's really good.
It's one of my, it's in my top 10. But my favorite film of all time, Flash Gordon, picked it up.
We're talking about like the 1978 version with that guy that was a footballer.
Yes, and Brian Blessed is, Yeah, exactly. One of my favourite films ever, with the Queen soundtrack.
I've got that Queen soundtrack.
Yeah, it's good, isn't it?
It's pretty freaking amazing.
You actually have it as a soundtrack, so now I have the Blu-ray. And I also picked up, Spinal Tap. And I picked up the first Batman film, the Michael Keaton. Michael Keaton?
That's technically not really the first Batman movie.
No, but you know, that Tim Burton one Batman
kind
of thing.
1988.
Yeah. I bloody love it. I forgot how much I love that film.
Yeah, no,
it's actually really well made.
Yeah.
I'm surprised at how well made it was. And I sat down and watched it with a four-year-old. Fantastic. JB Hi-Fi, you've done it again. Is that their slogan?
That is their slogan.
They did do it again.
You know what's a better movie than Batman 1988?
What?
Batman Returns in 1991? 92?
Okay. You can actually buy for like $24 the first four, maybe five movies in a Blu-ray collection as well. With Christmas coming and only a few shopping days left to go, I thoroughly recommend it.
You know what the problem with that is, though? That box set comes with Batman Forever.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Have you tried watching that as
Batman and Robin.
Does it come with Batman and Robin as well?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, God. Stay clear. That is not a good Christmas gift to anyone. Very bad.
Batman!
Just get, like, the original, like, 1966, Adam West, Burt Ward, pure West.
Yeah. I was actually, that wasn't going to be my how you're going kind of joke, because basically the how you're going is setting up a joke for the people, isn't it? Like, or here's something interesting in my life, kind of do some Jerry Seinfeld kind of shtick, like, what's the deal? I was going to do the news story this week. Remember how X-Men Wolverine went online months and months before it was released, that Gilberto Sanchez said he bought a copy in 2009 just on a street corner in the Bronx and put it online? He's now going to be serving he's been sentenced to 1 year in federal prison for uploading it online.
Good grief.
So this one thing, so he's in a hardcore prison for a year for putting that movie online, while yet the director of that terrible film still at large.
That'd be Gavin Hood.
Yeah, I hate him. Yeah. I don't know anything about him except I hate that film.
No, that's fine.
I hate him.
No one's going to argue that.
It's pretty bad. Yeah. So that was the joke I was setting up.
Okay.
Do you have one? How are you doing?
Yeah, doing all right. I've got no real story this week. I've just been kind of, you know, Christmas is coming. I'm just kind of easing myself into it.
You're all done for Christmas?
I bought my last gift that I needed to buy today.
Yep.
Yeah. So I think I'm good. I'll probably remember something tomorrow and freak out.
Did you buy me anything?
No.
I didn't buy you anything.
Yeah, I didn't think we were doing that this year.
No, we did it 1 year, didn't we?
Yeah.
And bought you a 6-pack of Crown Lager.
And I bought you a new suit.
It's not what happened.
No.
I think you bought me a can of Slurm 1 year.
No, I did do that.
Yeah.
Was it delicious?
It was pretty much like super sweet Red Bull.
Excellent.
Yeah, I don't think you meant to drink it.
No, just the ornamental can of Slurm.
So let's talk about TV, hey?
Can we do that? I have no story. Nothing this week.
That was it. So you're listening to Televised Revolution, your weekly look at all things TV and televisual. But because it's summer, it's slowed down a bit.
Yeah, I kind of like to think of this as in the early 90s when you'd find A Current Affair or it wasn't Today Tonight back then. It was something. Memory failing me. But you'd always find like a summer edition because it'd be like called a current affair country edition, and it'd usually be hosted by Peter Luck. Anyway, Peter Luck seems to have retired and he's not going to be hosting this podcast. But, you know, this is the Televised Revolution Summer Edition, where we have very few stories and are all too willing to stretch it out.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, Simon, how do people connect with Televised Revolution?
You can go to televisedrevolution.com, but that'll send you to the radiowolf.com. You can find us on iTunes. Leave a review. It helps people find us. You can find us on Twitter at TV_Rev. You can find us on Google Plus. Googie Plus. It's called Televised Revolution Plus One.
Do a search for it, you'll find us.
Yeah, do a search for it, you'll find us. Because we're not on Facebook anymore.
No.
We've done the website. What else do we do?
There's also the weekly newsletter.
Yeah.
Yeah. You subscribed to it the other day.
I did.
Yeah, you missed the first one. That's where I revealed all the TV.
Yeah, because I think I signed up like 20 minutes after the first one came out.
No, it was like 2 days later.
Oh, okay. Well, then
I've got the email to prove it.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah.
So you're actually looking at who is subscribing.
Yeah, I'll see who comes through. Okay. You know, there have been a large number of subscribers.
Well, that's interesting. Anybody interesting?
Nothing I can talk about on the podcast.
Okay, cool. Except Daniel Graham Rose.
Yeah, well, he was the first person.
I love that guy.
Yeah, he's going to get a card. I'm not sure what sort of card. Let's see what I've got sitting in my wallet. Anyway, we should do some stories. Simon, do you want to kick us off with... What have we got this week?
Well, look, we've got a few stories, I guess. Chrissy Swan quits The Circle to be on Breakfast Radio.
Yes. She's on
The Circle, and now she'll be on for Mix.
Yes, the ARN channel.
Yeah, 101.1 in Melbourne, which... promotion, question mark?
Yeah, now one of the things I thought was kind of interesting about the story was that she said she quit for her children.
Yeah.
She got more than one. I know she was pregnant.
I think she's got one and expecting another.
Again?
I don't know.
Seems very soon. Didn't she just give birth?
I don't know. Maybe she did.
I don't follow Chrissy Swan that closely.
I don't follow her on Twitter. I know I should. Maybe I do.
I think I do, but she doesn't follow me back, and that hurts me. But anyway, she's doing breakfast, and she said the reason for that was that she wanted more time to be able to spend with her kids. And I don't know, from what I understand about breakfast radio, it's some pretty grueling hours for the most part. That I think takes you away from your kids during that early morning period.
As someone who's done breakfast radio, I love the idea. Like, I did it for 2 weeks once at the ABC.
Oh, okay. I thought you meant like your community radio stint.
Yeah, I answer the phones. Being at work before 4 o'clock in the morning, but also being at home in your pajamas drinking tea by 8:30, best thing ever.
But that's the ABC, like, that finished at 7:45 in the morning. This is FM, this is the hardcore going through to 8:45.
Yeah, no, and I'm sure the amount of research that goes into commercial breakfast radio is to the highest standard.
Well, I saw one suggestion wondering whether or not she might actually be recording from a studio set up at her home.
That would be interesting.
You do find that from time to time. I think Wendy Harmer had something like that set up back in the day, and you've got Kyle Sanderlands coming from LA for most of his year.
All over the place, or from hotel rooms in New Zealand.
Yeah.
And asking girls about sex.
Yes. Anyway, moving on from that, it's kind of weird because...
Nothing can go wrong with not being in the studio.
Well, with Chrissy Swan, they also haven't talked about a co-host as far as I'm aware. So is it just Chrissy Swan flying solo on that show?
I don't know, I just... copy and pasted one sentence. There's stuff in that's... Mix has had a lot of changes. It's had a mix-up. But Chrissy Swan's actually got a lot of radio behind her. She has more radio because she did radio between Big Brother and The Circle.
Well, she did a bit of regional radio. I think she was on the Sunshine Coast for a while.
Yeah, but she was all over the place with radio and relatively prominent. So,
And I mean, her and Yumi Steins do a shift on that same channel in the afternoons, which goes nationally, I think, for an hour between 3 and 4.
Sure, why not? You're telling me.
Anyway, shall we move on to something a bit more substantial, which is some news that broke this afternoon that Ian Dicko Dixon has decided to step down as the host of Can of Worms.
And they've framed it as in he's fired himself.
Yeah, well, he is...
Because he's the executive producer kind of role on the show, isn't he?
And creator of the show as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's something sort of a little bit weird about the story, and I don't know if it's just purely he didn't necessarily want to host it anymore, but he still wants to do it. Or if there's something a bit more where, you know, testing had shown they could do better, heading in a different direction for season 2. Maybe Channel 10 had some sort of requirements. If there was to be a season 2, they have to, you know, lose him as the host and do something else. But I have to say, I really liked him as the host of the show.
Yeah, no, I quite like it. It was a bit stilted at the beginning. I was surprised because he's been on camera a lot. But he's never had to kind of read off an auto cue like he was doing, and that was quite wooden. But it was at least a halfway interesting show.
Yeah. I mean, it's the sort of show where, I mean, I don't think anyone would really claim it's the brainiest show on TV by a long while.
No.
But, I mean, effectively, it really was Q&A for the masses.
Yes.
It's not the political wonks out there, but really it's just people wanting to talk about... I always saw it as like the FM breakfast radioification of primetime TV, where the sort of topics they were discussing on that is kind of like the...
And there was a text line, a hashtag, and you could win an icy cold can of Coca-Cola, kind of. It was that kind of approach to primetime.
Well, it was just like a standard talkback segment, but stretched out to an hour with three comedians or people in different walks of life.
Comedian was a bit of a stretch for one or two of them.
Yeah. So anyway, interesting show. Kind of interesting that Ian Dixon's gone. Gone from in the on-screen.
Yeah, he'll be still EPing it, and it's Water Cooler Productions or something?
I think Water Cooler Media.
Yeah, and that he's part of that, I believe. But I might be entirely wrong.
I'm pretty sure that's his thing. But anyway, one of the things that I thought was, I guess, worth really mentioning is the reaction I kind of had watching Can of Worms. And I've sat in the audience of that show and watched it live as well.
Oh yeah, I remember that. Yeah. You wrote that thing on blogs.crikey.com.au/white noise.
Yeah, I think it was a bit of a throwaway mention of it. But it was a longer record than I would have expected. Like, we were recording it for about 4.5 hours, I think, from memory, which was a lot longer than you'd really anticipate for a show.
But this
like
podcast
that
takes 7 hours to record.
So. That's fair. And you look at the difference. Maybe we should shave 3 hours off and we'd get a Can of Worms out of us, perhaps. I don't know, there's some sort of awkward joke there that I don't want to make.
One of us has worms.
Yeah, something along those lines. Yeah. But the one thing I found always watching that show as a viewer at home is that there were just too many people sort of as regulars on that. You've got Dicko as the host. You had Dan Illick as the man on the street. And like those bits are all pretty funny. And,
yeah.
Dicko was fine
some,
as the host.
One or two of them went a bit too far, but a lot of them were. Like not too far as in it pushed good taste as in it went too long. But they were still thoroughly amusing.
Yeah. But they also had Michelle Laurie as... Originally, she was the person sort of talking about survey results and whatnot.
Yeah, on the board, but then they gave her a seat.
As the show sort of evolved, they had her on the couch actually talking about the subjects at hand and really getting involved in the conversations in a way she wasn't, I guess, originally conceived to be doing. And so by the end of that season...
I believe the turning point was that kind of Ackermanis King of the Bogans episode.
That was the first episode.
Was it?
Yes.
I don't think it was the first episode.
It was the first episode.
Because she was getting involved then, and then that was when the change started to happen. That was the first episode?
Dude, it was the first episode.
Gah, I'm old.
Yeah. But I did find that it was maybe just a bit too much crossover of what Ian Dixon had to do on the show and what she was doing on the show. It really was just doubling up on what could have been the host's role within that on the show. Because Dicko was supposed to be getting involved in a conversation, becoming sort of part of the rough and tumble of it. And yeah, it was really Michelle Laurie sort of taking that role on. So I don't know, maybe they've scaled it so that she'll be taking over as host. And I kind of hope that happens, because she was great on that show as well.
Yeah.
So I think they just need to relax that a little bit somewhere. Yeah, or at least define their roles a little bit better if they were going to go for that.
And maybe if she was hosting, they'd be able to get the Dalai Lama to kind of talk about gay teens and whatever topics.
Why would the Dalai Lama?
Because didn't he tour and she was like the opening act and like emissary for him just this year? Do you remember that? It was in the paper.
Which, the paper?
Yeah, well, it was like printed in news. It was a news thing.
I'm confused by this paper you speak of.
Yeah, Michelle Laurie was just there with the Dalai Lama, touring Australia.
Yeah. An interesting news story from the week was that Showtime in the US is going to be launching an American adaptation as a series of the Australian film Animal Kingdom.
I did not know that.
So this is going to be executive produced by John Wells, who is the guy responsible for ER, and also executive produced things like The West Wing, Third Watch, a bunch of Warner Brothers TV shows. But yeah, he's been working with Showtime recently. He did the US adaptation of Shameless, and this looks like the next thing he's working on. And if John Wells is involved, like, the show's going to get up and running. Anyway, kind of, I guess, interesting news.
Not quite as interesting. The Japanese are remaking Poirot and Miss Marple.
Really?
Yeah.
That's a lot more interesting.
Well, it is. I just thought I'd put that there's not like much meat to it, but Japanese TV network are making all of these kind of... They're remaking... I don't know how Japanicized they're going to be, but they're going to do all of those Agatha Christies.
Tell me they're going to make a game show out of it.
Oh, God, like a Takeshi's Castle, but like you have to like get to the end to find out who the murderer was.
Very much so.
Or kind of, maybe a bit less Japanese, a bit more Chinese kind of Crouching Tiger. Anyway, let's do an actual story. Bryn Edelston, reality TV series.
Okay, cool.
That was that story. We've got a reality TV series.
What else have you got, sir?
Interestingly, American TV series critically acclaimed Homeland, which we'll be seeing on Network 10 in the new year. Or have we already seen it? I forget.
No, we haven't seen it
yet. Oh, yeah, because this is why it's a new story. If you have a T-Box, Telstra T-Box set up, you'll have a window to watch before it goes on air. Homeland will be distributed before it goes to air. You'll be able to sample it through your T-Box.
A couple of months ago, Channel 9 sold a bunch of their shows that they screen on Go, like Vampire Diaries and a few other shows of that ilk. So low-profile things for 9, but, you know, big things for Go as a brand. And they on-sold them to Foxtel to start screening. Channel 7 sold a bunch of their shows, like Smash, which I honestly think is going to be the big show of next year. Like, I think that's going to be massive in the US. But they decided to on-sell that to Foxtel, along with a few other things. And now Channel 10 are on-selling Homeland for, you know...
Well, they're not on-selling
the online... No, no, yeah. Well, they've on-sold the digital rights to it, okay? So that Channel... Telstra can stream it on their T-boxes. And I'm asking the question, if I want to see first-run premium TV content... Why am I going to free-to-air TV anymore?
Yeah, I think it's one of those things as well, perhaps in Telstra's interest, that people actually sample and see the quality of their streaming service.
No, I totally understand why Telstra want it. Great move for Telstra. Yeah. Why are Channel 10 coming up with a deal with them?
Quantifiable Australian market buzz, I guess, even though it's been online for quite a while now, because episode 12 just went out in the States.
But, I mean, there's, what, like 100,000 plus T-Box units out in the thing?
I believe it's 200,000.
Okay, well, that's a lot.
Yeah, it's quite a few.
Like, that's enough people to suddenly start watching it in a legally distributed manner.
Yeah.
Okay, like, why are Channel 10 doing this? I don't...
You were saying last week that Channel 10 don't have, like, the online or the same presence, and they don't have the same kind of, cohesive, well-thought-out digital strategy. If it's okay that I paraphrase you...
Go for it.
Yeah. So, this is... I don't know if this kind of feeds into your criticism that it's not a kind of cohesive strategy, or because they don't have the same position online that the other networks do with video. Like, they're watching The Biggest Loser on Catch Up terrible on their websites. But is this them trying something different and trying to bring in that on, like, that internet kind of filtered kind of TV?
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I don't even think this is really even a digital issue. I think this is purely just... They found a deal where Telstra are willing to pay a reasonable amount of money for a show which isn't going to be a massive priority for Channel 10 by any means. Like, I'm sure that it'd rate okay, but they'd probably have dumped that on one the same way they did The Killing. But at the same time, like, really, what's the value to Channel 10 in the long run by on-selling these shows before they can screen them? It just makes it feel to me like it's a dumping ground. I can already illegally download all these shows. If I want to wait legally for it, like, you know, they're not even providing that for me anymore.
It's one of those things as well when you look at, like, the downloads, which might be our next story, and you look at one of these shows and it's got a kind of huge promotion and people don't even bother to illegally download it, let alone kind of legally watch it. I don't entirely know if this promotion strategy is sensible.
Yeah, but on the subject of illegal downloads, there was a story regarding the number of downloads we've seen through 2011.
So...
By way of Torrent Freak, which
Torrent
is a big...
Freak.
It's a BitTorrent news website.
Yeah, and they kind of track all of the public BitTorrent kind of trackers. They're the tracker. They've released the top 10 downloaded TV series for 2011. You can see it online, and they've got big statistical analysis and comparing it to... estimated kind of US TV viewers and stuff like that, but that's, you know.
But what are the top 10, Simon?
What are the top 10? Coming in number one, Dexter.
Yep.
3.62 million people. Game of Thrones came in number two with 3.4 million people. Big Bang Theory, let's say 3.1, I'll round that one up a bit. You've got about 2.75 million for House, about 2.4 million for How I Met Your Mother, 2.2 for Glee, 2 million for The Walking Dead, 1.9 million for Terra Nova, about 1.9, bit less for True Blood, and 1,730,000 for Breaking Bad.
Yeah, now, of course, this is just the websites at which they index the things.
Yeah.
There's lots of private trackers as well, which have massive traffic.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's not everything.
So something like your Torrent Day, for example, wouldn't be included in that.
No. Indeed. But yeah, I mean, even so, like, essentially in the US now, it's not really a big sort of BitTorrent market anymore in regards to the fact there's so many streaming services like Hulu, for example, that there's a lot of legal streaming of these shows. But this would be largely, I'd suggest Australian, UK, and then other areas of the world.
Australia as well, just massive pirate country. I don't think people quite realize how much of a pirate nation we are. We're in an island, we've got, you know, like turtles on the beaches, we've got pineapples and coconuts, and we pirate everything. We are a nation of pirates.
Nice.
And it's just interesting that Big Bang Theory, How I Met Your Mother, Glee, kind of, and Terra Nova are some of the only really big shows that appear in this top 10, that they're actually shows that have small domestic viewing, sit in the top 10 download, rather than all the huge shows. It's just kind of an interesting thing that shows that are interesting and people are fans of and actively seek out aren't necessarily the everyday content.
Yeah, I mean, I would suggest that a lot of the shows that people are watching are shows of which aren't necessarily just blob on your couch and watch, but it's appointment TV.
Yeah.
And so people are actively seeking out specific shows that they want to watch. And, you know, I think cable TV has that factor to it.
So some of these are a little bit niche. They're a little bit smarter. Some of them aren't amazing, but they're a little bit smarter than average.
Yeah. What else this week, Sloan?
That's me for this week.
That is also me for this week. So shall we move on to TV highlights, sir?
What the hell are you watching now?
It stinks.
Well, why am I watching it? Because it's on TV.
You're wasting your life sitting in front of that TV.
Television highlights. A week's worth of television.
Okay, Simon, television highlights, what are we recommending?
Go on the ABC iView and watch Upstairs Downstairs. The third part just finished on the TV. It's pretty good. I'd also recommend The Family on SBS, the kind of fly-on-the-wall reality TV series, kind of following an Australian family. I know that sounds like a terrible concept and just kind of reliving Sylvania Waters, but it's actually really, really good.
Okay.
It's really incredibly good. I guess the last Going Postal, that Terry Pratchett kind of TV movies on the ABC. I guess you could watch that. And over Christmas, watch the Doctor Who Christmas special.
Yeah. Well, I thought I'd do something a little bit different in my TV highlights, and I'd just highlight Christmas things to watch.
Is there Jingle All the Way?
Actually, no, that I didn't notice that on the schedule at all.
No, I didn't notice on the schedule either. I'm just complaining. That'll be my hate it for this week.
Okay, well, I've got something similar in mind for that. Saturday night, I wasn't really going to include Saturday viewing because most people are shopping or they're enjoying life still on Christmas Eve. So there's Peep Show on ABC 2 at 11 p.m.
Oh, yeah.
I mentioned that because it's the most recent Christmas episode from that, which is like the most amazing Christmas episode of anything ever. Like, it is so dark and bitter and true to what
family
Christmas
is like. So this
is the
one that went to Christmas last year in the UK.
Yeah, so the most
recent
Christmas.
I remember you ranting about that a year ago.
Well, ranting, celebrating.
It's amazing, Simon. I still have claw marks in my arm where you grabbed me and went cross-eyed.
It's pretty good. But no, it is the truest thing to a family Christmas experience captured on television that I've ever seen. Amazing. And on SBS2 that night, there is a movie version of Monkey Magic. No, people would remember that from growing up as young kids in the 80s and earlier on the ABC. This is the movie version of the Journey into the West serial, the books of years gone by that the TV show was also based on. So it's going to be a little bit different than what you remember. But if you're into Monkey, well worth a look, and that's at 10:35. But Sunday, Christmas Day, I thought I might do a guide as to how to avoid the family and still, you know, gain some level of sanity through television.
You'll have been doing this like 3 or 4 years in a row now.
I think so. This is a tradition of mine. And I'll have a much more detailed thing on the internet and as part of the weekly diary, the weekly manifesto that I'm emailing out.
The email.
Yeah. The email list.
Yeah.
But anyway, we'll talk about that in a bit. Things I'd recommend. On Channel Go on Christmas morning, you can wake up at 7 a.m. through to midday and watch things like The Flintstones Christmas, Yogi's First Christmas, Tom and Jerry, The Nutcracker Tale, and Looney Tunes, Bar Humduck. On 7.2, they've got some Christmas sitcoms at 11.30. You can watch Christmas specials of Mad About You, Step by Step, and The Hogan Family.
They've already had the Christmas specials of One Foot in the Grave and Keeping Up Appearances on 7.2 as well.
Oh, God.
I may or may not have watched them all.
The horror. And Christmas night, you can watch a few movies. Family film Flight of the Navigator on Go at 6:30 p.m. I know. Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon. Not Christmassy at all, but that's fine by me. SBS 1 at 8:30. Bad Santa's on Sunday night at 10:30 p.m. on Channel 9.
I really like that movie.
Yeah, for people of whom really want to celebrate the spirit of Christmas, there's an episode of Fear Factor on 1HD at 11. But you mentioned it earlier, and I thought worthy of mention as well, Doctor Who, A Christmas Carol. Maybe, I'm going to put this out there, Simon, my favourite Doctor Who episode of all time. I really liked what they did with that.
Oh, is that the one with the sharks?
Were they sharks? Yes.
Yeah. I like that one. That was quite good.
Yeah, it was the Matt Smith Christmas Doctor Who.
Yeah, and there'll be the new one as well.
Well, not on that Sunday night.
That's not on that Sunday night, but on...
I think the Monday night it'll probably be...
Yes, I think it's on the Boxing Day.
Anyway, we'll put that in the email newsletter. Yeah. But if you want to see the Doctor Who Matt Smith Christmas Carol, ABC One, 11:58 PM on Sunday.
Or watch your Flash Gordon Blu-ray that you bought from JB Hi-Fi.
You can give that a go. Simon, let's quickly do Love It or Hate It.
Now it's time for the segment you love to hate. Love it or hate it.
Simon, sir, what are you loving? What are you hating?
I'm loving having my T-Box do something for once by being able to see Homeland after I've already seen it.
Homeland, incidentally, amazing. I think it's... We'll talk about this on...
It's quite thick. It's not the easiest first episode to get into, but Damian Lewis is one of the most handsome men in the whole world.
I disagree. I got into that first episode quite easily.
Did you?
Yeah.
Oh, so you're not going to disagree that Damian Lewis is handsome? Because he's very handsome.
Not really my sort, but if you're into that kind of thing, go for it.
Wish Dennis was here.
Yeah, maybe. And then you know what he'd say? Who's Damian Lewis?
Yeah, there you go. But is he a guy on RuPaul's Drag Race?
Yeah.
Now, that's a show that needs a Christmas special.
Maybe. My love it or hate it would be that every year I look forward to one thing, and that's watching A Mum for Christmas. Olivia Newton-John, department store mannequin, comes to life after a wish by a young, you know, we'll say 8-year-old girl. She doesn't have a mum. Her dad is a, you know, bachelor who's still mourning the loss of his wife. But anyway, she comes into their lives. He falls in love with her. She gets a mum for Christmas. Eventually, they realize she's a mannequin. She has to go back. But through the spirit of Christmas, Simon, she becomes a real mum and a real wife. It brings the family together.
It's no, my stepmom's an alien.
Well, no, it's not. But if you want a cheap substitute for that, and this gets really cheap, and it's not A Mum for Christmas, but if you can try to make do, A Boyfriend for Christmas. It's on 4:30 PM on Gem. Okay, it's a romance starring Patrick Muldoon and Kelly Williams. And here's a little blurb for it. On Christmas Day, Santa brings together two lonely people. But can love overcome deception?
Is one of them a mannequin?
I don't know.
Is The Sound of Music on this Christmas?
I didn't notice it. I saw that Gone with the Wind is on. I think it's Saturday afternoon, but yeah.
The Sound of Music is meant to be on every Christmas.
It should be. It's probably on the schedule somewhere.
Yeah, but I just didn't see it on the schedule. So I hate not being able to find it on the schedule.
There is good news for A Mum for Christmas fans.
Yeah.
If you can't find it on your TV, and you can't, and you don't have the DVD of it imported from Amazon for
$8.76,
you can go to... I don't know if it's really on Amazon, just saying that. You can jump on YouTube, type in the phrase, A Mum for Christmas Part 1. Off you go, kids. It's all there. And pristine, like it's a good rip.
Is that like how the movie Two Hands is on YouTube in 19 pieces?
Oh, it's all there.
Yeah.
9-minute blocks, my friend.
Yeah.
But anyway, it's all there. A Mum for Christmas. Get on it, kids. I think that's the end of the podcast for common decency, I think. Yeah. Anyway, folks, this was Televised Revolution. Simon, how do people get in contact?
TheRadioWolf.com. You can listen to this podcast and many like it. At TV_Rev. You can email us, staff@televisedrevolution.com. You can also sign up to the weekly email. So if you don't want to email us, we'll email you. You can find us on iTunes. Please leave a review. It helps people find us. And Google Plus. It's on Google Plus.
Yeah.
And Plus one, that shit, yo.
Yeah, people can find the weekly manifesto, which is the email newsletter, on theradiowolf.com. There's a little button at the top. Click it, fill out the form. It takes your name, your surname, and your email address. That's all it needs.
Yeah.
Join the masses. There's a lot of people. Quite a few.
You'll tell me as soon as we stop recording.
A handful.
Yeah.
Anyway, folks, we will be back next week with our end of year wrap up. Folks, we'll see you then.
TV is the thing this year. Radio was great, but now it's out of date. TV is the thing this year. Baby, my set will need fixing every night.